If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will?
You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day. So stick around, baby, and everything.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel,
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah.
This is a show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
come together once a week over a single topic, and from said topic, we come with a whole bunch of ideas to get you really rich really quickly. We don't ask for anything up front from you guys. The key part of that statement is up front. Because we're not a one-size-fits-all jizz factory of ideas. We are bespoke in our own way.
Yeah.
Maybe we're prêt-à-porter. We are ready to wear. But they are different designs. You come in, you look, you say, oh, I like this, and I like it with this, and I'm going to take it. And look, I'm very fashionable. I'm rich with fashion, as opposed to, what was that? Remember that commercial, that Wendy's commercial? And it was set in, like, the Eastern Bloc?
No.
And it was the like, you know, a Russian fashion show, and they just came out and, like, gray cloth sack, and it was like, evening wir, schwim wir. Well, anyway, we're not like that, is my point. But my point, the real point is, where I completely digressed, going back a couple minutes there. We don't ask for any money up front.
You know what we are like?
What are we like?
We're like off-the-shelf bespoke. We are like Cinderella's suit, where it fits one lucky person perfectly.
The modern Cinderella wears a pantsuit.
Okay. It's Cinderella.
Not glass
pantsuit.
Slippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works. Anyway, we don't ask for money up front, Noel, but we do ask for something after you've taken the idea, after you've actioned it, after you've gotten obscenely wealthy, then what?
After you're crazy rich, richer than you ever imagined numbers went to, you say, hey, I didn't get here by myself. There are those two dudes with the jizz factory that gave me a bespoke suit that I tried on and became wed to the prince. And by wed, I mean owned, because you own everyone now. And I owe them a little something. Because I didn't give them anything for the idea. I should give them 10% of everything I made while I got rich. I should tithe them.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
So, Noel, how have you been, buddy?
I've been great. Development with Nigel.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
He's saying data.
Like full on, like looking at you and saying data.
Full on. Look me in the eyes. Data. He'll come up to me. Data. I'll try to put him to sleep. He'll kneel. He'll get up on his knees in his crib, throw his pacifier, and yell, Dada.
Uh-huh. Did you guys call you Dada? Do you guys call you Daddy or Dad? Like, what is your...
Any of those.
They're all sort of in the...
Speaks a lot of Spanish to him, too, so uh-huh. She'll call him Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Or call me Papa. But he focused on the data.
There you go.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You win parenting.
Well, you know, I think most dads probably win because I feel like the duh sound is easier to make than a
I don't know. Whether the duh sound is easier to say or not, I don't, you know, you'd have to show me hard numbers to say, tell me that most dads always win. Not an assumption on your half because you feel guilty.
I don't feel guilty.
You won parenting.
That's true.
Just deal
Walk
with
out
it
now. Yeah. Leave while you're on top.
Leave while you're on top or rub it in her face as much as you possibly can. Because you're going to lose parenting at some point.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's going to win hard. And, you know, so take your wins when you can. Well, revel in them.
I have told her that I got to get all the dad as I can because the second he says mama, that's all he's going to say.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Yeah. It's because you're a clown. It's like eventually he's going to be saying, instead of Dada, he's going to be saying TV.
Uh-huh.
You know? He's going to be saying tablet. He's going to be saying Caillou. You know, whatever the show the kids are going to he's going to be watching.
Sure.
You know, you're just not going to be as entertaining anymore. Well. Not going to be as fun to huck his pacifier and have you run and bend over and get it while he
doing that.
Cackles and cackles. That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's good news. For the listener out there, because I know you're out there, listener. Noel and I had a little back and forth. Noel was interested in buying a vacuum sealing machine.
Yes.
And he had reached out to me and he'd asked me about it. And I told him what he should look for, and he sent me a link to one that was rated the best. And I actually already knew that already because I had ordered that one. Mm-hmm. But Noel then sent me that he had ordered it from Target. And I said, why did you order it from Target? And he said, because the cheapest it was on Amazon was $188. And on the link he had seen in the review, he had seen that it was only $100 and he found it for $100 at Target.
Yeah.
Now, I had ordered the same exact machine, but I did not see the link that said that it was only $100 and assume that the $188 was the cheapest one. Mm-hmm. So I ordered the $188 one. So I was a little miffed. I had ordered it before you did, actually.
Oh, really? But yeah. I didn't realize that yours was recent. I just assume all things food, you've had them forever.
Well, I've had vacuum sealers. I hadn't had that brand before. I had only used, like for home vacuuming forever, the only one you could get was Food Saver, and that's the one I always sort of got just because it was sort of the most common. Mm-hmm. But I've been very disappointed with my Food Saver, and I needed a new one, and so I ordered that one. But I ordered it only a couple days before you.
Oh.
But it was a long delivery time. Mm-hmm. And so we waited. We didn't get it till after you had gotten yours. We got ours about 3 days ago. And our vacuum sealer came in a Target box with a Target packing slip.
Really?
Sent from Target. So I kind of flipped out.
Yeah.
And I had Deb, because Deb's really good at talking to customer service.
Uh-huh.
She's really good at being a real Karen to customer service.
Okay.
And getting exactly what she wants every fucking time.
Good.
But apparently what had happened was the $188 price was through a third-party seller. And so basically what they did was they took my order, then ordered it from Target and had it sent to me. Mm-hmm. They spent $100 in tax plus tax and then charged me $188 plus tax and just pocketed the difference.
Wow. That's bold.
Yeah. It's beyond bold. Like, at least have it delivered to you, put it in another box,
yeah.
Slap a tag on it and send it out from wherever the fuck you are. I mean, that was crazy. So Deb got on with Amazon and you know, went down the rabbit hole with them and came out. They actually refunded us the money and sent us the return label for Target to send it back to Target.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you just going to order it now from Target?
No, we're going to order it from, it's now up on Amazon for $99.99. Oh, okay. I used a gift card for it, so I have this money sitting in the gift card thing, so I'm going to use that. But I just thought it was...
ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Like, that's when if any of you out there ever see those ads, those YouTube videos where they talk about being a third-party seller on Amazon, that's what they're talking about, as a way to make extra money. They're basically telling you to be the middleman in the worst scam around.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing if you're doing... So, I have a friend that used to sell stuff on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be crazy markups he would be charging, but he would go and find really good deals on weird things that you couldn't get everywhere.
Right.
Right? And so, he wasn't just charging you extra for something you could have gone down the block and gotten yourself.
Right. And, you know, exactly. That's a different thing. You know, he's,
like
he's
weird
acting,
hot sauces and things like that.
He's acting as a shop by doing that, right? Yes. I mean, it's you know, I get that. You know, that makes that's fine with me. And it's like, you know, you charge what you charge, and it's like you can't find it anywhere else, and so you find it on this Amazon site.
Yeah.
That's totally reasonable. This, on the other hand,
yeah,
is beyond the pale.
I'm amazed you didn't tell me that when I told you that I had gotten it from Target because it was cheaper.
Well, once you said it was cheaper, I went to see if I could return it, mm-hmm. like cancel it, but it had already been sent out. So I was waiting to get it, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna send it back." But then when I saw that it came from Target, I didn't even know what to fucking do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would have sent it back, and I would have gotten you know, I don't even know how, you know, because I wouldn't have gotten a refund from Target.
Yeah.
Because she sent it to me. She paid for it. Mm-hmm. So I would have sent it back. She would have gotten the refund and just walked away with 188, with all the money. Yeah. And I wouldn't even, I was just like, my mind was boggled. I just thought that was so fucking bold.
Yeah, that's big time.
And stupid as well.
Yeah.
And stupid as well.
Have you done any vacuuming ceiling this week then? Oh no, you don't have.
I'm waiting to order a new one. I mean, I've you know, I still have my other one, mm-hmm. but I haven't done anything specific with it.
I made some stuff for Nigel. I made two things. I made the thing I sent you the pictures of,
mm-hmm.
was baby pork ragu, and then I also made baby beef stew.
What makes it baby? Is there just like little seasoning?
Basically almost no seasoning. There's no salt.
Is that not good for babies?
No, babies should stay away from salt.
Do they shrivel up?
Raisins? I think it can be bad for their kidneys, I think is what it
okay.
is. So no salt, and like in the ragu thing, and lots of vegetables, right? Jam full of vegetables.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The pork ragu is ground pork carrot and squash and a lot of spinach and tomato and basil.
Maybe we should change the show from our current format to a cooking format or a food format.
Sure, I could do that.
Yeah.
Get thick quick.
Get thick quick. People are going to think it's like for penis size. People are going to be like, oh, my God, are these exercises for my penis?
Hey, whatever brings them in. They come That's for the right. penis size. They stay for the recipes.
That's right. Exactly. I guess it could be get thick like THICC.
Yeah.
When they talk about, like, you know, a person being thick
uh-huh.
around, you know, big ass.
Okay.
Big yeah. breastises.
Yeah.
You know.
Could be that.
And eating nothing but baby ragu and baby beef stew
yeah,
would get you pretty thick.
Beef stew is beef and squash, carrots mm-hmm. again, corn, peas, potato, mushrooms, a little bit of the tomato. I'm trying to think. I think there was another vegetable in there too. I just jammed as many vegetables as I could get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And rosemary. That was the only seasoning in that.
Nice.
Yeah. The beef stew was kind of an experiment. The ragu I knew was going to be good, and it is. He loves it.
Does he eat it by itself, or do you give him pasta with it?
We give him pasta. We get some like rotini and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this baby led weaning, which means he feeds himself ever since he could first grab food, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting pretty good at it. He still gets all over the place, but
but he hits his mouth now.
Uh-huh.
Well, at first it was like crazy. but so yeah, something like the rotini or something that he can like pick up and, you know, or penne or things like mm-hmm. that, or retidores are good. Things that he can grab.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how long is that going to last you? Like, are you feeding him, like, baby ragu every day till you're out of this stuff?
No, that's the beauty of the vacuum sealer. The reason I got it is because the week before, I had already thought, oh, this would be a good thing to have for him probably. But then the week before, I made fennel and beets. And he loved both of them, actually. But we had all this fennel and all these beets, and we were basically, you know, every chance we get him in that chair, it's like, eat more beets, eat more fennel, it's going to go bad, right? So I figured with the vacuum sealer, I could make stuff and then portion it into just like a day or two's worth of it. And then, you know, you've got a couple months to finish this batch. You don't have to do it all in 5 days.
But are you doing, I guess my question really is, are you planning on getting into a mode where you just do batch cooking, where you cook like 2 weeks worth of food in 1 day? And then you don't have to worry about cooking food for him, like really cooking for him every day? Or is it just sort of like as you do it, you're like, oh, I made a lot. Let me just vacuum seal it and put it away.
It's a little bit of both. My plan is to, well, and Nan likes making him stuff too. So she's always going to be making him some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan is to try different things, make a bunch of different recipes, and you know, maybe you use a third of the beef stew before you make another thing. And then before long, you can open up the fridge or the freezer and there's a choice of six different things you have.
Right.
That's the thing. So we can have variety.
Uh-huh.
Because really, gotcha. You know, it took hardly any time.
Mm-hmm.
They both cooked for a while, but it was really just chop some stuff and put it in a pot and let it sit for a while and then seal it. So that was the plan. So far, success.
There you go. You know, we watched just this week. You ever see the movie Soul on the Disney Plus? It's a really good film.
Yeah, we watched it last weekend.
Because we had watched that previous Pixar film, Homeward, something Home.
Yeah.
That it was terrible, man.
I don't think I saw that one.
It was the one right before Soul, and it was supposed to come out at the beginning of COVID, and they ended up just putting it out on Disney Plus, and it was really bad.
Okay.
I think Chris Pratt and I don't know who else were the voices of it, but this Soul was really good, and I bring it up primarily for one reason and one reason only. Because it ties in directly with today's topic.
Yeah.
Which is, Noel Dineen.
Today's topic is reincarnation, how to die and be reborn at the top. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny because that is essentially the essence of one of my ideas.
Oh, really?
How to die at the top and then be reborn at the top.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
There you go. That was a preview, guys.
That's right. Reincarnation, Noel.
Reincarnation, right? We all know what reincarnation is, you know. Different religions or different people, even that aren't necessarily subscribed to religion, have different views on it. But it's basically that life forms, be it people die and then come back as other people, or some are that you start as whatever, an ant. And if you live a good life, then you become a bird. And then if you live a good life, you become a tiger, you know, and you work your way up the food chain. Are humans the top of the food chain?
I mean, I think we're the last level before you ascend to whatever the final step is.
Okay.
But, you know, I think there's levels even within humans.
Yeah.
You know, we're the last step before enlightenment. That's what it is.
But most people, I shouldn't say most, because maybe there's a religion. Actually, I know there's a religion that believes in reincarnation that has probably a billion people. But a lot of people that believe in reincarnation have a looser definition. And it's just like people get reborn as other people. And, you know, we get reincarnated over and over. And a lot of people try to find out about those lives they were before. Who was I before? How did I live, right? Mm-hmm. And what do they do to find that out? They do past life regression. Mm-hmm. And there's different ways to do it depending on how you look into it. A lot of it has hypnotism and things like that. And I was starting to think about, you know, how can you make money with reincarnation? And one thing that would be super helpful, because when you hear about these people who did past life regression and what they find out, they don't really have, they just find out who they were, right? What would be really valuable is if you were to find out, if you were be able to know everything that you learned in those past lives,
mm-hmm.
right? That would be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Suddenly you wouldn't make those same mistakes you made in the past life.
Right.
Suddenly you would know, you know, whatever skills you had in the past life.
Mm-hmm.
All these things, right? But the past life regression that you usually see really only gives you tidbits, you know. Oh, I was a knight and I fought in this battle, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
So I kind of have to assume that if we're going to plumb knowledge of past lives, all we're going to get is tidbits. Otherwise, someone would have come up with how do you learn what you knew? So how can we somehow, using only these tidbits, use that to gain all the knowledge that you used to have in your past life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what if you could download everything you know onto a computer?
Mm-hmm.
Give you a code. And in your next life, all you need to come up with is that code. A tidbit. Right? A password, a key, say, so that you can use that code to access all this knowledge that had been downloaded from your past brain,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how you can use a tidbit to gain all that knowledge, right? How are you going to do that, right? Because really, you know, there's a lot of talk in sci-fi circles and things about downloading brains and downloading memories, but it's kind of still in the realm of sci-fi. So I figured, you know, you could always take a lesson from the cryogenics model, right? Which is you're going to die, you do die. We're going to freeze your body until science has caught up to a point where we can make you come back to life. And we're just going to hold you frozen until then, right? So I think that's a good model to follow. So we don't have the ability to download your brain yet, but if we keep your brain, you'll, in one of your lives in the future, be able to access this knowledge once the technology allows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you open up shop, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make it look like a lot of businesses do this, right? You make it look like you've been around for years, right? You can say, we've been doing this since 1948. We started. 1948 is actually a really great time to say you started doing this.
Why is that?
Because everyone's going to assume that it is
multi-generational.
Well, not only multi-generational, But that era in particular, they're going to assume that it is Nazi scientist that we poached, right? And if
is that what they're going to assume?
They're going to assume.
Okay.
And everyone here, you know,
that
most
seems
people,
like a huge leap in logic, but okay.
People, we hate Nazis.
Right.
We love their science.
We always right? love their science.
And we really have no limits on what we think their science might have done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So much is based on, oh, this was Nazi science.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to assume, oh, the Nazis knew how to do this, right? So you're going to kind of, you know, make it look like you've been around a little longer than you have been. And you're going to do the past life regression therapies on site to access old codes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people see that, oh, it sounds like I probably already have a brain being stored here, they're going to buy in because all they got to do is chuck in this extra bit of money, and then their future selves is going to get two lives worth of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's then you're really talking. So you've got them on the hook already, mm-hmm. right? And that's really it. You're going to open up shop. You're going to make deals to store people's brains. You're going to make it look like you already have history so that when people come in, you do a past life regression to check if they already have a brain in storage. They pretty much always do. And then they'll be on the hook. They'll be like, oh, you know, throwing bad money after the good, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my idea is basically along that same line. You know, what I came up with, I think I did a little more research than you based on
that was pretty solid research
based on what I did. But and, you know, I think I chose a different business model as well.
Oh, okay.
You know, an already existing business model, but just made it, you know, improved upon it. I read an interview with this guy named Walter Semkew, who is a reincarnation researcher and author. And someone asked him, what is the deal with reincarnation? How does it work? And he basically said, and why do we reincarnate? And he says, souls, which have a permanent existence, incarnates into physical life to develop and evolve.
Okay.
We go through a series of physical incarnations to establish a firm sense of identity as well as to develop God-given talents and abilities.
Okay.
Once this is accomplished, we have the choice to incarnate on Earth again to help our fellow humans.
All right.
But as you pointed out, if you don't have any memories of these previous lives and the things you've done and the mistakes you've made and the pasts that you've lived, how exactly do you develop and evolve?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many people maybe are living the same life over and over again, like this weird Groundhog's Day where they're not even aware that they're doing it because, you know, how do you know what's going on?
Uh-huh.
And then I read, you know, in terms of tapping into this, you know, these memories, where do you get these memory rubs? I read an article in Goop magazine.
Ah, this is,
you know,
solid
Goop
research. I see where you're talking
solid,
about.
Solid scientific where they interviewed a medium by the name of Caitlin Marino. And she said there is a place in everybody's energy field called the Akashic Records. And that holds their entire soul's history. Right, and it's key that it's the soul's history, right? Because it's the soul that keeps coming back and coming back when and creating these memories. It's past, it's present, and it's future. And through these records, we are able to access any moment in a soul's journey. And so what I realized here is the key to develop and evolve is accessing these Akashic records. Okay? So this was my thought. So I thought about, I did a little research I did a little research on the Akashic Records, and that is a thing. Like, it's not just, I know it's in Goop, so you sort of like, well, you only really need that to know that it's 100%.
Yeah.
But I felt like, you know, let me just make sure that there are other people talking about this Akashic Record. And if you
Goop
look up
is
the...
to science what Get Rich Quick with Josh Knoll is to finance.
Yes. And, you know, we are to finance what Reddit is to the stock market.
We got to talk about that at some point tonight. Anyway.
So the Akashic Record is a thing. You guys can look it up. I won't go any further into it because that's the essence of what the Akashic Record is. So I was thinking, what business models are out there that we can basically just mine and make a fortune, right? And the first thing I thought of, what do people who are interested in their past and interested in their history and interested in who they are and where they come from, where do they go? They go to all the home DNA kits.
Yep.
23andMe, Ancestry.com are the two biggest ones, right? Ancestry is apparently responsible for over 50% of all home DNA that's been done. But here's the interesting thing about this business model, right? Those DNA tests had huge growth from the years 2016 through 2018. And since then, sales have been plummeting.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently something like 60 million people worldwide have had their DNA done. Mm-hmm. And that's just sort of been it.
Yeah, that's all.
They've both had to do massive layoffs. Ancestry sales were down 38% over the past 2 years. 23andMe's were down 54%. And I don't know, have you ever taken any of these tests? Have you ever done any of these?
No, but my sister did one, so mm-hmm. I know.
Right. That's one of the things that is the problem. They think one of the reasons that they don't do as many sales is that one sibling or one family member will do it and then tell everyone else in the family what their results were, mm-hmm. and everyone's basically like, okay, then I'm that too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they don't bother getting it done. So since you've never done them, I've done them. Because I thought maybe I had a brother out there, and I thought, well, let's see, or a half-brother. No sign of him yet, if okay. he actually exists, just in case anyone was curious. But when you go on these things, after you sign in, they hammer you with add-ons.
Okay.
23andMe has added on things like find out what your health risks are.
Yeah.
Get a DNA diet plan made for you from your DNA, like, you know, based yeah. on your DNA, what diet is best for you. Ancestry hammers you with family tree stuff and going back in time. And this is the way they're sort of trying to keep people's interest in their personal history, but it's finite, mm-hmm. right? Eventually, it's going to come to an end. So this is what you're going to do, guys. This can either be done as a standalone business. I think you may, if you just want to make real money quick, get the bones together and then just fucking sell it to either of these companies for a gajillion sure. dollars. Because they are looking for something to keep these people going. Because of this Akashic Record, you have an infinite number of lives that you can go through to find out the history. You have, it is essentially the YouTube rabbit hole of your own personal history. So even sure. if the issue is not that you want to develop and evolve, you can go back forever to find out about yourself and the people that you were. I mean, if this were out there, I would do it. I would 100% do it. And I would pay, you know, whatever money, and you would basically have all these mediums in a room. You would send them all of your information. They would go into your Akashic Record. They would access your Akashic Record, and they would just get your story out of there.
Yeah.
And from your story, from your soul story, you would just find out all of the things that you used to be.
That's great.
And I think there's huge money in that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. That's great. Hey, if you guys want to give Radio Free Brooklyn some money, you can. You can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com, hit the sponsor button, pledge an amount. All that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn, keeps the lights on, keeps the service humming, keeps the studio open. Radio Free Brooklyn is in the process this weekend as we air, moving studios. And you get a tax break because Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 charitable organization. You get to feel good about yourself because you supported the arts and community radio, and you're just an all-around good person. If you want to help support in other ways, you can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the apps, iOS or Android. You can go on Amazon and on Amazon Smile. You can put Radio Free Brooklyn in as your charity. You spend not a nickel extra, but when you buy things on Amazon for inflated prices, Radio Free Brooklyn gets a little bit of a tiny sliver of money donated by Amazon. It's not much, but if enough people do it, it adds up. Radio Free Brooklyn also has a sponsor at this point. If you've been listening, you've heard them before. City Running Tours. They've got running tours, great way to discover the history of New York neighborhoods while on the run. Choose from 23 different neighborhoods in Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, or the Bronx, 7 days a week. Go to cityrunningtours.com/New York City. Take a look at the schedule. Book a tour. And they also have right now, 10 a.m. on Saturdays, they have an Instagram one you can watch, instagram.com/cityrunningtours. And you can see what one's like from the comfort of your own couch, in the warmth of your own couch right now.
Not in my house, but in the freezing cold of my couch.
Yeah, well, my house in the boiling hot of your couch. It's hot in this apartment usually. We've actually turned a lot of our boilers off and a lot of our radiators off, and it's still hot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And as thanks for listening to all our spiels, every week we got a topic. This week it is reincarnation. We've used so many ways to get super rich. Not enough. Not enough. We pack in every show another little way for you to get even more rich. That's nothing to do with the topic. So Josh, please take it away.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Today, we're going to talk about 8 of the simplest feng shui tips that can help you to make your home more of a money magnet. The first one is something that you've probably heard of, which is keeping your toilet lid down. Keep the lid down, close the drain. We don't want to see any drains because draining is the opposite of what we want to happen to our money. We want it to be building. Clear all your clutter. Clear your clutter, and when you clear your clutter, you're making space for amazing new things to come into your life. The next one is a really simple one. Get rid of the leaks. If you have faucets that leak, kitchen sinks that leak, showers that leak, any leaky roofs, anything else, just like when you close the toilet lid, you are getting rid of anything that's draining and leaking away and moving in a way that it shouldn't necessarily be. The next tip is citrus, 9 lemons if you can. And traditionally, 9 lemons in a bowl are thought to be a money magnet.
There you go, guys. So keep, you know, if you have a wife or a woman living with you.
Uh-huh.
Or you know to keep the toilet seat down anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just lesson number one.
Sure.
So, you know, I guess that's why homes with women in them make more money.
Well, hey, and if you have a woman living with you from Ecuador, you probably have 7 lemons in a bowl somewhere.
9. It's got to be 9.
9. You probably have 9.
Yeah, and in your case, you have no garlic or onions in the house and either.
No, actually, I do have some chopped garlic.
You just keep it hidden, your stash. Noel.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we get back to reincarnation, I do want to take a little segue to talk a little bit about GameStop and what is going on in the world right now. It is crazy.
I love it. I think it's amazing. I think shorting companies is a scam from the jump. Everything about that should be illegal. And, you know, these guys are squeezing them and putting these big investment guys on the fucking ropes where they deserve to be.
I kind of agree, but I think that the people, the only people that are going to get truly burned off this are all the people throwing their money in right now. That's all going to get tapped away from them and is going to go to big institutions. And...
Well, big institutions, what do you, I don't, in what way? I mean, what I find is...
Banks always win. When it comes to trading, banks always win.
Sure, but what I find interesting about it, though, is someone, I'm going to say governmental, based on, you know, is put a ton of pressure on Robinhood, the trading app that everyone's been using to do this, and they've started limiting, if not stopping, trades on GameStop.
Sure. Yeah.
And so people are now, they can't, you know, the people who want to cash in now can't do it.
Well, yeah.
Which
well,
seems.
No, I think they can sell. I just don't think they can buy.
Okay. I don't know. I know. I mean, I was watching something about it today, and as they were talking, they were showing the thing and it was plummeting.
Yeah.
It was plummeting. But whatever. I mean, it seems interesting to me.
It is.
That they're all up on the grills of these guys doing this, who are basically taking advantage of something in the same way that these big money guys take advantage of stuff, and yet they're being vilified for it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What concerns me about it isn't this so much. This one seems like it was a grassroots good for them. It's the next one. We're basically QAnoning the financial markets.
I think to some degree. I think QAnon may be a harsher thing to state, but you know, unfortunately, because the financial markets have figured out a way to get away with murder, and the people who are supposed to be policing them don't really do a good job of policing them, as was proven by the burst of the financial bubble. And the economy tanking and all of them getting bailed out, or most all of them getting bailed out.
Yeah.
There comes a point where, you know, I guess the thing with I take umbrage with the QAnon reference because that's a fake conspiracy theory.
Well, but I'm saying you're putting it in control of what could then become.
Sure, certainly. Absolutely, and there can be bad actors who are going to take advantage of it and do fucked up stuff in some way, shape, or form.
I guarantee.
Yeah, well, I mean that's the nature of humanity. But it's hard for me not to root for this a little bit right now.
Yeah, although I don't know what you're rooting for.
I'm just rooting for
put the banks out of business.
No, they're not going to put
the banks are going to win.
I'm sure they'll always win. The banks will, but you know these hedge fund guys going broke for a change.
Yeah.
And having no recourse other than to go broke.
Yeah.
I'm sort of rooting for that.
I did read yesterday that the institutions having to cover their shorts have lost $14 billion.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it was two institutions, though, right? It was the one...
Mainly.
But yeah.
Sure
that
there was a lot of others.
There was one that was worth, like, you know, that had initiated the short... That was worth like $2.5 billion, which is a subsidiary of a larger one that was worth like $17 or $18 billion. And one of the reasons it got so crazy was because the guy, as I understood it, I don't remember the names, but the guy who runs the whole kit and caboodle, who basically has the $17.5 billion one, didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
And so he just kept propping it up by shoving more money into it as well. You know, so and then he just got burned, you know. I mean, it's an interesting, I think it's important that people feel some sense of agency in their lives, especially when it comes to stuff like the stock market, where for eons and eons, we were told that, you know, we should invest in it and let other people do the work.
Yeah.
And they've done nothing but take advantage of it for the most part.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway.
High-speed training. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, that was a digression. It's just crazy what's going on, though.
It is crazy. And they're doing it with other stocks. AMC is another one.
Yeah.
There's several. I mean, GameStop is the one that really blew up.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are it is happening with other short things. And maybe it'll kill the short game, which it should.
It probably won't. But anyway, you guys, we're not here to talk about GameStop. We're here to talk about reincarnation. How are you going to make money with it? I'm going to tell you right now, right? As I kind of hinted at before, the people who do remember their past lives, they always seem to remember lives of some degree of importance, right? I was a noble. I was a knight. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, a Roman senator. I was someone of importance. No one was a mud farmer.
I was always curious how it could be so many people could be Queen Nefertiti.
Sure. A lot of Queen Nefertiti.
Yep.
A lot of, at times when 99% of the society were basically mud farmers, almost none of the people that remember their past lives were these 99% of the society, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you first hear it, it strikes you as disingenuous. Maybe there's something false about it, or maybe there's not, right? Maybe there's an actual reason for this. And I took a look at ghosts, right? A lot of people say that ghosts are here because they're trapped on Earth because they have some sort of unfinished business, right? And if you can finish the business of a ghost, they can leave in peace. Maybe that's the same with reincarnated people, right? Maybe they have some debt to pay, and that's why they keep being reborn and reborn and reborn and reborn. And the reason they're not farmers being reborn is because they were poor. They had mm-hmm. no money. They had no debt, right? So following this line of thinking, I started thinking about how awesome it would be if you could somehow collect past life debts, right? But how are you going to do it, and for who? Right? I can't go for GameStop. How long has GameStop been around? Since the 80s, maybe?
Yeah, 90s, I bet.
Probably, right? You're not... There's
not since 48, I can tell you that.
Old GameStop money that died and have been reincarnated that we can collect from.
Mm-hmm.
We need old money, right? So what you're going to do, you're going to become a past life debt collector.
Oh.
For like the Medicis,
mm-hmm.
the Rothschilds, the old money families that go back to the Middle Ages of richness, right? Maybe you can get some Vanderbilt debt collections in there, but really mm-hmm. your money's more Europe, Asia, the old money families. The Medicis, really, right?
Yeah.
They owned the banking industry in Italy throughout the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, I believe, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm sure they kept books. And sure. You can go. You can find out who owes money. All you got to do is look online at forums of people bragging about their past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I was this famous painter from... You know, in Florence in the year 1200. Boom. You owe the Medicis quite a bit of money, my friend, with interest. And we're going to collect it the Italian way. That's what you're going to do.
What is the Italian way?
Break your knees, buddy.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And, nice. And you don't have to go and hire a psychic. You don't have to...
Mm-hmm.
Figure out these people. They're posting it online themselves.
They are. They're proud of it.
All you got to do is go to some past lives forum, and they're all going to be there. And all you got to do is do a few searches.
Yeah, doesn't take much.
No, and you will make huge money. The Medici will be happy for you to take a 50% cut on money that you're recovering that's been owed them for
centuries.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, if money is owed for centuries, and you look at the vigorish on that, right? You or the amount on top of what's owed that they have to pay every month, their percentage or annually, that is a lot of fucking money, dude.
Yeah.
Just the interest alone on that.
Yeah.
Billions and billions of dollars or dinari or shekels or whatever they used.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid idea, Noel. I like it. A past life debt collector.
Yeah.
So as I established in the earlier idea, the process of reincarnation is apparently you die, your soul leaves your body, it gets scrubbed clean of all memories and comes back essentially as a newborn baby.
Yeah.
Seems pretty straightforward, pretty obvious, pretty clear. But maybe that's not really what happens. In the process of my research,
yeah,
I came across an article.
About vagina candles?
No, it was not goop. It was it was goop for conspiracy theorists.
Oh.
And it is reincarnation is way more sinister than we've been led to believe.
All right.
According to wakeupworld.com, they claim that there is an artificial energy grid, also called a soul net, that has been created by non-physical entities that go by many names, but the name they seem to use most for it are archons.
Okay.
This energy net has been put up to prevent any souls from getting through, keeping them on Earth. Therefore, Earth remains a closed system where new people are constantly born for one, or well, for the one purpose of giving the archons energy to feed off of. Okay. And that's done two ways. It's by human beings powering the economy and generating negative emotions.
All right.
And apparently the key to the net, what gets you into the net, is the light. The light that everyone says when you're dying, go towards the light, or if they want you to come back, stay away from the light. Mm-hmm. That light is apparently an artificial product that causes you to get constantly caught in the net.
It's a lure.
And when I read this, mind blown, right?
Yeah.
I had spent all day, hours and hours researching this, believing that the whole purpose of reincarnation is evolution of the soul, development of the soul. It's all hooey. And then I said, well, if that's the case, if you're going to come back just to be a prisoner, why not come back to the life that you left? Especially if you are amongst the richest, most powerful.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really simple. You are going to, instead, you are going to harness this SoulNet technology to break it down that you basically have your own version of a SoulNet that you can use on individuals. When an elderly, wealthy person who pays you a shit ton of money is about to die, you bring your little personal SoulNet, you capture their soul, then you take that soul and release it into an unborn baby of a woman that is pregnant, that has been chosen by the person that's died, whose soul is going to replace it, and either the eggs have been chosen by them and inseminated with their own semen if they're a man, or if they're a woman, they using their eggs and inseminated by the semen of a man of their choosing. The child is born with a fully unscrubbed soul. All of the money that these people had and property has been put into a trust for this child. And so from the moment they're born, it's sort of a Benjamin Buttony kind of thing, you know, except it's their brain that's old. And they know everything about their finances. They know everything about finance. And it's essentially your... How many movies have you seen, books have you read that are entirely about rich people wanting to be immortal? Mm-hmm. And this is without having to drink a baby's blood. This is without having to become a vampire or anything like that. I mean, people will pay insane amounts of money for this.
How do you make the soul net, though?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
That'll be... Leaving
something for the
Well, this is the deal. The technology is clearly there.
Okay.
You just sort of have to infiltrate the Archons. Now that you know they're there, you have to infiltrate the Archons and just steal the technology.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. That's great. It's good. Yeah. It's a lot of money. Hey, if you guys want to get in touch with Josh Ryan, tell us what great ideas we have. You're on Facebook at Facebook.com/GRQJoshNoel.
You can email us at GRQwithJoshNoel@gmail.com.
You can go on Twitter at Twitter/GRQJoshNoel. You can go on iTunes or anywhere you can get a podcast nowadays. Download, subscribe, rate, review. Please do. If you only listen to us in podcast form, tune in Saturday nights, Radio Free Brooklyn, 8 o'clock. Get there early and listen to Art Star Scene. Stick around afterwards. Listen to The Circuit. There's a lot of good things going on Radio Free Brooklyn. Check it out, yo. Right now, you got a lot of money in your pocket, probably, so Josh is going to tell you what to do with it. Brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Save that money!
Catapult flower. Price? Priceless. This is it. The most expensive flower in the world is the catapult flower. This flower is so valuable, it literally is priceless. Catching even a single glimpse of this flower in bloom is almost impossible, as it blooms only once a year in the dark and withers before daybreak. It's impossible to sell this flower because considerable damage is done when the flower is picked. Also, it only grows in Sri Lanka, and it's actually a flowering cactus that produces delicate white flowers. The flower has a rich history in Japan, where its name translates as beauty under the moon.
So there you go, guys. It's not priceless because you can just buy Sri Lanka.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we know our ideas are awesome. How do you know that they're as good as we are and have faith in them? It's because Josh scours the internet for rules to get rich quick, to which we judge our schemes by. Where are rules come from this week?
Today's rules are how to get fucking rich, the six principles of creating wealth from masculine development. Can I just read you the bio? I may not have time to answer questions, but I really want to read the bio of the guy who wrote this blog, who's the runner of this blog. His name's John.
Okay.
All right. About John. John Anthony is an author, six-figure blogger, and cryptocurrency investor who started Masculine Development in 2015 as a way to help other men around the world realize their full potential. When he's not hitting the gym or working on his business, you can find him playing the guitar, reading psychology books, or swiping on Tinder.
Yeah, that's exactly the rules we need to judge by.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we're getting rich.
Well, let's get a rule.
All right. Take advantage of tax breaks.
Take advantage of tax breaks, right? You don't have to pay it. Your next life will.
Yeah, there you go, guys. One for one from John, author, six-figure blogger, and constant masturbator.
Yeah.
So we're definitely getting rich. Once again, for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.
Okay. Well, I had a buck when I went. 20 grand when I came back. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day. So stick around, baby, and everything will be okay.